Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready to dive into a topic that's as important as it is complex.
Absolutely. Today, we're tackling domestic violence in Romania. We'll be going beyond the headlines to really unpack the laws, the challenges, and the progress being made.
And let me tell you, the numbers paint a stark picture. We're not just talking about a social issue here, but a significant economic one as well.
Right off the bat, Romania loses a jaw-dropping $16 billion annually because of gender-based violence. Think about that for a second. That's a massive economic burden.
It's $16 billion. It's almost unfathomable. That kind of figure really highlights the urgency of this issue. It's not just about words on paper. It's about real lives and real consequences. But before we get into the specifics of how Romania is addressing domestic violence, let's make sure we're all on the same page about what that actually means in the context of their legal system.
Good point. It's a much broader definition than many people might think.
So beyond the obvious physical violence, what else falls under that umbrella?
Well, psychological abuse is huge, and it can be just as damaging in the long run. We're talking about constant verbal harassment, threats, intimidation, that kind of thing.
Those mind games can really wear a person down.
Absolutely. Hmm. And then, of course, you have sexual violence, which encompasses any non-consensual sexual act.
And it's not always just about the physical act itself, right?
Exactly. Things like sexual coercion and harassment also fall under this category.
It all comes down to power and control, doesn't it? One person trying to exert their will over another.
You hit the nail on the head, and that desire for control can often spill over into finances, which brings us to economic abuse.
So, like, controlling someone's access to money or sabotaging their job.
Exactly. Making them financially dependent is a way of trapping them in that situation.
Wow. It's like a web they can't escape from.
And then you've got social isolation, which can be incredibly damaging in its own right. This could involve controlling who someone talks to, where they go, even their online activity.
It's about isolating them from any support systems they might have.
Precisely. Make them dependent on the abuser and cut off from anyone who might help.
It's chilling when you think about it. It's no wonder it could be so hard to break free from these situations.
And to give you an idea of just how widespread this problem is in Romania, a Eurobarometer poll from back in 2010, so a little while ago now, found that a huge majority of Romanians knew someone affected by domestic violence.
Wow. That really drives home the point that this isn't some abstract problem. It's affecting families, communities. It's everywhere.
It is. And that's why it's so important to understand the legal framework that's in place to address it.
So we know this is a widespread issue.
Hmm.
What is Romania actually doing about it? They must have laws in place to deal with this.
They do. And thankfully, things have come a long way. But it wasn't always that way. Before 2003, domestic violence cases were handled under the Criminal Code from 1968. Can you imagine?
1968. Talk about outdated. I feel like things have changed a lot since then, socially, in how we understand these issues. So what changed in 2003?
2003 saw the introduction of Law No. 217-2003. It was a game changer, really. It gave Romania a dedicated legal framework specifically for domestic violence.
That makes sense. So it sounds like a huge step in the right direction, but what did this new law actually do? What kind of concrete changes did it bring about?
Well, for one, it shifted the focus. Instead of just punishing the abuser, it aimed to actually prevent violence and support survivors. One of the biggest tools they introduced was the protection order.
Okay, so kind of like a restraining order, keeping the abuser away from the victim.
Similar idea. Protection orders could prohibit contact, bar them from the victim's home or work, even prevent them from owning a firearm.
That's huge. Giving victims that legal backing to protect themselves. But laws are only effective if they're actually enforced. Did this law address that at all?
It did. It emphasized the role of law enforcement, outlining their specific obligations when responding to domestic violence calls. Before that, there wasn't a consistent approach, which, as you can imagine,
caused more problems than it solved.
Exactly. But with this new law, officers were mandated to inform victims about their rights and the support services available.
Okay, so giving victims the knowledge to protect themselves and access the help they need.
Right. And beyond that, police were empowered to take immediate action to protect victims in immediate danger.
Even without an arrest.
Exactly. They could remove the abuser from the home, issue an emergency protection order. Things like that.
Wow, that's a big shift. It sounds like Law No. 217-2003 really set the stage for how Romania handles domestic violence today.
It did. It was a turning point, but like with any law, there's always room for improvement.
Laws need to evolve as we learn and grow as a society.
Exactly. And one of the big changes came in 2012 with Law No. 25. This introduced some crucial amendments.
Such as? What did they identify as needing improvement?
Remember how we talked about protection orders?
Yeah.
Well, back then, they could take up to a month to be issued.
A month? That's a long time to wait when you're in a dangerous situation.
Absolutely. So the 2012 amendments tackled that head-on, reducing the time frame from a month to just 72 hours.
Wow. 72 hours is a much more reasonable time frame to get those protections in place. That's a significant change.
It was a recognition that justice delayed is justice denied, especially in these situations. But beyond these changes within Romania, they also started aligning their efforts with international standards.
Right. I see here they ratified the Istanbul Convention. What is that exactly?
The Istanbul Convention is a big deal. It's a treaty from the Council of Europe specifically tackling violence against women and domestic violence. Romania ratified it in 2016.
So they're joining a broader international effort. What does ratifying this convention actually mean in practical terms?
It means committing to aligning their laws, policies, and practices with the convention standards. Strengthening legal responses, providing support services for survivors, prevention programs, the whole nine yards.
So it's about holding themselves accountable to those high standards.
Exactly. It's a human rights-based approach, recognizing violence against women as a form of discrimination.
That's a powerful statement to make.
It is. By ratifying the Istanbul Convention, Romania is saying this is not okay and we're taking concrete steps to stop it.
It's really encouraging to see these commitments translated into actual legal changes.
Mm.
But laws are only as good as their enforcement, right? What's the reality on the ground?
That's the key question, isn't it? And that's where we start to see both the progress that's been made and the challenges that still remain.
So we've talked about the laws, the amendments, the international agreements, but what's actually happening on the ground? Are these protections truly translating into real-world change?
That's the heart of the matter, isn't it?
Yeah.
And honestly, it's a mixed bag. There's definitely been progress, a real shift towards a more victim-centered approach. But
there are still hurdles to overcome.
Exactly. And one of the biggest is law enforcement. Even with the best laws, if someone doesn't feel safe going to the police,
the whole system falls apart.
Right. Trust is essential. A victim needs to know, without a doubt, that if they report abuse, they'll be taken seriously, treated with respect. Their safety has to come first.
And is that happening consistently in Romania?
There's still work to be done. There's often a gap between what the law says should happen and the reality victims experience.
And that gap prevents people from coming forward.
Absolutely. It allows the cycle of abuse to continue, makes it harder to collect evidence, holds abusers accountable.
It's a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
So what can be done? How do you bridge that trust gap?
One key thing is specialized training for police officers. They need a specific skill set to respond effectively to these calls.
It's more than just breaking up a fight.
Right. It's about recognizing the signs, assessing the risk, knowing how to talk to victims.
In a way that empowers them.
Yes. And thankfully, Romania is making progress on this front. In 2023, they trained a significant number of police officers on the latest laws and best practices in domestic violence cases.
That's good to hear. So these aren't just quick workshops.
No, they're designed to really equip officers with the knowledge and tools to handle these situations sensitively and effectively. But let's say a case does go to court.
What then? What's the process like?
Well, as with any criminal case, the prosecution has to prove their case.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Exactly. And that's a high bar to clear.
As it should be. Right. We're talking about someone's freedom.
Precisely. But it's important to remember, it doesn't mean absolute certainty. It means a reasonable person, looking at all the evidence, would have no doubt the abuse occurred.
So what kind of evidence are we talking about in these cases?
It depends on the situation, but it can include medical records, photos, videos, witness statements are important too.
And of course, the victim's testimony.
Yes, which can be incredibly difficult. Imagine having to relive those experiences, often in front of your abuser. It takes a lot of courage.
It does. And unfortunately, victims often face doubt or even blame when they do come forward. Those harmful myths about domestic violence.
They're still out there, and they can really influence how a case is perceived, which is why having those strong support systems in place is so vital.
Because it's not just about punishing the guilty. It's about helping survivors heal and rebuild their lives. So let's talk about that support. What does that look like in Romania?
They've been working to build a network of support services.
Like what? What kind of resources are available?
Well, there's a national domestic violence helpline available 24/7. They provide crisis support, counseling, information.
That's so crucial, having someone to call, someone who understands.
It really is. The number is 0800-500-333.
0800-500-333.
0800-500-333.
Wow, 73.
Yes. They offer safe housing, counseling, legal aid, everything someone might need to escape a dangerous situation and start to rebuild.
Are these shelters primarily run by the government?
Some are, but many are run by NGOs. There are actually 9 NGOs focused specifically on women and children who've experienced violence.
That's amazing. That specialization is so important because the needs of a woman fleeing an abusive partner are going to be different from, say, a child who's witnessed violence.
Exactly. And these organizations get that. They provide targeted support for those unique challenges.
So it seems like Romania is making a real effort to create that safety net for survivors.
They are. It's about recognizing that this isn't just about laws and punishment, but about empowering victims, changing attitudes, and creating a society where this kind of abuse is simply unacceptable.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive. Romania's journey is a powerful reminder that change is possible, but it requires ongoing effort. We can't become complacent.
Absolutely. The fight against domestic violence needs constant vigilance, adaptation, and above all, listening to the experiences of survivors.
It's about amplifying those voices, making sure they're heard. And on that note, we'll leave our listeners with this. What changes, big or small, would you make to better protect victims and break the cycle of violence? It's a question worth pondering. This has been a truly insightful discussion. Until next time, keep asking those tough questions.